I'd like to begin with the stereotypical question: how did you spend your summer? It certainly has been different for almost all of us.
I know it's like there's no concerts, but for us too, for Adele and me, it's been like we had the busiest summer. An amazing time for music technology, right? All the people making music suddenly had to rely on sound systems, and I guess the last couple of weeks have been very, I guess, emotional for me, you know. But the concerts that I did with the Atlanta Symphony and Robert Spano were, you know, the first time I was with an orchestra since March. It was very emotional, you know, to suddenly be with such a great group of musicians too, but to be there and playing the music of Beethoven Violin Concerto, it was a relief, I guess. In Paris, I played for an audience, so then it really was, you know, kind of like the next step. Like that's they're the Philharmonie, they call it. It's at the Cité de la Musique. Yeah, I guess they had like 50% audience or some sort of rule like that. But still, I guess September came and my kids started live school. And so it was all different from what it was in March, you know, masks and plexiglass, I guess, you know, little offices instead of desks and all sorts of new rules, but still it was like going back to school, and it's a big deal, you know, and it really kind of feels like slowly getting back to normal.
So how did you deal with that span of time between March and this past week?
I think it's ironic that tragic times, right? Tragic times, and we were very lucky. But suddenly we had this opportunity to really sort of look at our lives and slow things down, and you know, what do we really want to do? What are our priorities? I've loved hanging out with my family, with my wife and my kids, and you know, they're completely sick of me by now. All of us together there in our New York apartment, and so somehow things started filling up, and we all of us became busier than ever, and a lot more music for all of us, all five of us in the family, in the house. Everybody was practicing all the time, making music at home. You know, Robert Spano was telling me that he was writing much more than he ever did before. He suddenly just sitting and writing music. And I guess for me, I sort of got inspired by the principal at my kid's school who, you know, he had to transform a nursery school and elementary school, middle school and high school. I mean, hundreds of people, t hundreds of teachers and thousands when you count all the students. He had to move them all online and then plan for reopening in September. But he still found time twice a week to go on the internet to read kids' books online. And we got hooked into watching them because he was doing that, and we were having a blast. He was having a blast, and we were having a blast looking at him. And he really had a good audience of kids. And I guess I sort of thought, well, is there anything I could do to be useful for a change, you know? And I was, I guess, chatting with Lori Niles, who runs a wonderful website called violinist.com. And so we did kind of a summer project where we once a week had three violinist guests and we would just do violin chat. Yeah, that was an amazing experience. We met a lot of people. It was a lot of work to put together. And I don't know, maybe hopefully somebody got some use out of it. But it was a blast.
What were some of the things about this particular Atlanta Symphony experience of yours that were different from the past, in terms maybe of music making?
I felt, and I think the musicians all felt, just so appreciative to be there and to be making music and to be, you know, here we are and playing Beethoven's music, Violin Concerto, I guess, is 1806. So here we are, what, 214 years after he wrote it, and with all this COVID, and here we are, and we just loved being there and playing the, you know, it was very different from the experience before. We were very far apart. I mean, the distance from where I was standing and, for example, the timpani at the end of the orchestra was further than I'd ever had. There were no stand partners. I guess we had two run-throughs for every movement. No patches, no anything, just we play each movement twice. It was just wonderful to be there.
The concert you recorded with the Atlanta Symphony was performed without a live audience. Since then, you've already played in front of a live audience in Paris and are about to do so again in Hanover.
Yes, so in Paris, what they did was, socially distant audience and about 50% capacity. And here, we're actually going to play two concerts every night. I think it's about 25% capacity with the orchestra. Yeah, and I guess the other things that we did was I edited and listened to a lot of recordings that we made. And so now we'll have a lot of recordings coming out soon. The Brahms Violin Concerto and Beethoven Violin Concerto with the Knights, Eric Jacobson conducting. Getting things done, working on post-production. We did a Berg Violin Concerto with the San Francisco Symphony and Michael Tilson Thomas, which was a very meaningful performance for me. Yeah, just projects that are very dear to me. Things like a Korngold Violin Concerto with David Robertson and the St. Louis Symphony. Prokofiev Violin Concerto with the Singapore Symphony and Lan Shui. A project that I did the year before with the Südwestrundfunk Orchestra, the Stuttgart Orchestra. A lot of music, but at home with headphones, as opposed to in front of an audience and with friends and colleagues.
Obviously, you're now getting back on the road, touring, and doing live concerts again.
Yeah, this is my first real trip on the road. I did go up to Tanglewood once in July to do a virtual concert. Very bittersweet. I love to be making music and to see some friends up there. But to see the lawn empty and quite sad, these kind of things. But love to be there. And we did a virtual solo concert. And then, there a lot of new technology. So there's this platform called Dream Stage, which was the brainchild of Jan Vogler. Adele and I, my wife, Adele Anthony, who's a violinist, our friend Ari Kang, who's a pianist, we went and we did a virtual concert for Dream Stage. But those were sort of concerts in the sense of you're in a studio by yourself. People joined us on the internet. Very interesting to think that somebody was in Israel with us at the moment, but still not quite like what I'm doing now, which is actually playing in front of audiences.
Are the orchestras you're playing with in Paris and Hanover socially distanced from each other to the same degree that the Atlanta Symphony was?
Every place has different rules. I would say the Atlanta Symphony was more spread out than the orchestra in Paris. And here in Hanover, we haven't started rehearsing yet, so I'm not sure exactly what the spacing will be. But as an example, Germany has different rules, so I had to have a test before leaving France to come to Germany, and I was happy to find out I was negative. Hanover also has their own rules, but the very building where the NDR Orchestra works, they have their own rules. And so they require, as I'm coming in from France, even though I have a negative test, I need to quarantine for a few days before I'm allowed to enter the building. So every place has their own set of rules. It's kind of amazing because I feel like everybody's done the soul searching of what, how we value this and how we're going to start this again. And yeah, there's some feeling about it like starting from scratch,
When playing with the Atlanta Symphony, did you have to make any adjustments in your own listening and playing with the musicians so spread out across the stage?
Some things are just easier when you're close, issues of timing and issues of tuning and issues of communication and clarity are always easier when you're very close, I felt like the hall was good enough for us to be able to hear each other and figure out what was going on. And those musicians are really such a high level that, you know, everything was very clear and very easy, you know, in a sense. But still, it was different from what we were used to. I loved making music with Maestro Spano and with the orchestra. They sounded fantastic, and I was thrilled to be a part of it. I was so happy to be a part of it.
I understand that on October 18th, you're doing a virtual concert from WGBH in Boston.
WGBH in Boston has been successfully doing these Adagio streaming concerts. And I think Adagio has been a big success during this time also. So I'll go up there on the 18th and play some solo Bach and some solo violin written in 2020 music too. I will play a solo violin rag by Scott Wheeler. I was very happy and honored that I opened my email and there was a note from Scott there. And he said, look, Gil, this was in April, you know, so a few weeks into this lockdown. And he said, Gil, I wrote a rag for solo violin. He called it the isolation rag. And I looked at it and just really enjoyed playing it. I thought he really did an incredible job capturing the feeling, you know, of a violinist playing at home, you know, enjoying playing, but longing to play the Mendelssohn concerto with friends and to play with an orchestra or something like this, to play the Brahms concerto. So I'll play this. And then also, I don't know if you know Max Ramey, who's a violist in the Chicago Symphony, but also a brilliant composer. And he wrote a violin etude called Anger Management. And it was a couple of years ago, he showed it to me and I love the piece. So I'll play that as well. And then the final piece is something I just now am learning to play as part of the series that I did with violinists. We called it the Gil Harmonic, by the way. With Laurie Niles and violinist.com. As part of that, my friend Vijay Gupta came and he played a piece composed by his wife, Rina Esmail. And Rina is a brilliant composer living in Los Angeles. And it's a beautiful piece for solo violin based on the poetry of Hafiz. And it's called When the Violin. So yeah, those will be three pieces that I'll play alongside a Bach sonata and a Bach partita. Yeah, you know, music goes on even during lockdown. You know, music has a way of living with us, capturing our lives, you know.
You've been listening to a conversation with violinist Gil Shaham. Thank you, Gil, for being with us today.
Thanks, Mark. So happy to see you. It's so nice to be with you and speak with you.
And thank you to our readers and listeners for tuning in. I'm Mark Gresham for Irrelevant.